ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्री श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी महामहोत्सव की। सो टुडे इट्स अ वेरी स्पेशल डे फॉर अस। टुडे इज द डिवाइन अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्री कृष्ण। श्री कृष्ण इज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। The understanding, especially our understanding, the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding, is that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others may consider that Krishna is an incarnation, but to us, Krishna is not an incarnation, but Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. And this point, this fact, has been very emphatically pointed out in various scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhita, and even great devotees like Jayadev, prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, have established this fact. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, it has been described that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Various incarnations have been described in Bhagavatam. 22 different incarnations have been described. And then it has been pointed out that there are innumerable incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. These are just 22 examples, but in reality there are unlimited incarnations. Just as there are innumerable waves in the ocean, just as innumerable rivers come out of the ocean and then again merge into the ocean, similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited incarnations. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the origin of all the incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Should I keep it closer? Okay. It's all right now? Okay, thank you. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsho kalapumsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. These are the amsas. All these incarnations are amsas and kalas. Amsa means parts, and kala means parts of the parts or parts of the parts of the parts. But Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam, Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Brahma also, in Brahma Samhita, when Brahma perceived Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Golok Vrindavan, Brahma received Gayatri Mantra from Krishna Himself, Gopal Mantra. Krishna, by playing his flute, gave him this mantra. And Brahma was instructed to meditate on this mantra. And as a result of that meditation on the mantra, the spiritual sky revealed in Brahma's heart. Tene Brahmarida Adikavaye Muihanti Jatsuraya. The transcendental knowledge that bewilders even the most exalted demigods, most exalted personalities. That knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. And what was the knowledge? That knowledge was the perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Who did Brahma see? Brahma didn't see Vishnu. Brahma didn't see Narayan. Brahma saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eternally resides in the spiritual sky. And in Brahma Samhita, Brahma very emphatically pointed out that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And Brahma described there are different incarnations of the Lord. They are actually his expansions. Those expansions are non-different from himself, but still Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, Brahma established that Krishna of Vrindavan, Goloko namni nijadhamni talecha tasya. Brahma this way described the geography of the spiritual nature and the material nature, spiritual sky and the material sky. The topmost region of the spiritual sky is Golok. Goloko namni, that is Nijadhamni, Krishna's own abode. And Talechatasa, below that, Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu. Below that, there is Haridham. Gradually there is Haridham, Maheshdham. Haridham is Vaikuntha, the abode of Hari or Narayan. Below that is the abode of Lord Shiva, Maheshdham. And below that is Devidham, this material nature. And Brahma again established, who is this personality Krishna? And what is his relationship with the different incarnations? Although different incarnations are Krishna himself, but still, what is the difference? The difference is Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhupetya Deepayati vibrita hetu samana dharma. Just as one lamp lights the other lamps, and when the lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light. Vibrita hetu samana dharma. They have the equal characteristics. But it is the first lamp that lights the other lamps. Similarly, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his incarnations are his expansions. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Avataram Akarad Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanju. Ram, Nishingha, Varaha, Kurma, there are various incarnations of the Lord. Ram, Adi, Murtishu. But they are Kala, Niyamena, Tishthan. They are his Kalas. They are his parts of the parts. In this way, Nana, Avataram, Akarod. In this way, he has assumed many, many incarnations. Bhuvaneshu, in this world. Kintu, but Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanja. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And that personality resides in Vrindavan. Goloko eva nivasati akhilatma bhuta. He resides in Golok Vrindavan eternally. But at the same time, he is situated in every living entity's heart, Akhilatma Bhuta. So that is his inconceivable potency. Annantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He is situated in every brahmanda, in every universe, as Garbhodokshai Vishnu. Annantarastha, but at the same time, paramanu chayantarastham. He is also situated in every single atom. That is his inconceivable potency. That is the supreme personality of Godhead. And his understanding, his identity has been most profoundly understood by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to specifically reveal the identity of Krishna of Vrindavan. Or rather, the more appropriate way to put it would be that Krishna himself came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reveal his identity of Vrindavan. That is the special prerogative of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that those who are the worshippers of Vishnu, they are Vaishnavas. Those who are worshippers of Krishna, they are known as Karshnas. But those who are the worshippers of Srimati Radharani, they are known as Gauriyas. So, and why Radharani? Because Krishna doesn't reveal his identity as explicitly as Srimati Radharani does. And that is why when Krishna came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna's identity has been most wonderfully revealed. Srimati Radharani is Krishna's greatest devotee. And she, when she describes about Krishna, that is the most profound description. And who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he is giving the perfect understanding of Krishna of Vrindavan. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshotanai Staddhamo Vrindavanam Ramma Kachi Dupashana Brajabodhu Borgena Jakulpita. Sri Brajabodhu Borgena Jakulpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Naparaha. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings has been explained in this way, or expressed in this way. That what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings is, or rather Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshotanai, the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brajeshotanai. So he, and Taddhamo Vrindavanam, his dham, his abode is Vrindavan. That means the supreme worshipable Lord is the Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna of Vrindavan, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is not the Vaikunthadhish, he is not Vasudev, he is not Devaki Nandan. That Aradhya Bhagavan that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing is Krishna of Vrindavan, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Nandan Krishna, Brajendra Nandan Krishna, Jasoda Nandan Krishna, Brajendra Gopijana Vallabha Krishna, Gopinath Krishna, Rashi Bihari Krishna. Brajeshwatanai and Stadhamo Vrindavanam. Ramma Kachid Upashana Brajabodhu Borgena Jakulpita. Brajabodhu, the damsels of Vrindavan, Braja, the gopis. The way they worshipped Krishna, that is the highest form of worship. Brajabodhu Borgena Jakulpita. The most exalted worship of Krishna is the way the gopis worshipped him. And now the question is, what is the proof? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The spotless Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the proof. The most exalted of all scriptures, which is transcendental to the modes of material nature. The Puranas and Upanishads, they are dealing with different modes of material nature, and accordingly they have been presented like Tamashik Puran, Rajashik Puran, then Sattata Puran. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amal Puran, spotless Puran, doesn't have any tinge of the modes of material nature. It is transcendental even to the mode of goodness. Sattang Vishuddhang Bosudeva Shabditam. It is the Vishuddha Sattva, transcendental to the modes of material nature. So that Amal Puran Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. That is the proof. If anybody contests, how do you substantiate this Siddhanta? Our answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been very explicitly pointed out. When Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were having the discussions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking questions to Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy was answering. And this question goes to the point beyond Madhurya Ras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initially was rejecting Ramananda Roy's conclusions. Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is the ultimate goal of life? What is the sadhya, sadhan? What is the goal, what is the ultimate objective to achieve, ultimate goal of life? Ramananda Roy's first point was Varnashram Dharma. And he was substantiating that with the scriptural evidence. Varnashramacharo bata purushena parappuman. Nainang Vishnur aradhate pantha nainang tattosha karanam. Mahaprabhu rejected that. No. This is material consideration. Tell me what's beyond that. Then Ramananda Roy pointed out about karma yoga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. Ramananda Roy suggested karma tyag, renunciation of activities, rejected that. Then he pointed out about Jnana Yoga. Mahaprabhu rejected that. Iho Bhajya. Then he came to the point of pure devotion. Mahaprabhu accepted that. Yes, that's right. Pure devotion, Anna Bhilashita Sunnam, Jnana Karmad Anabritam, Anukullena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. Uttama Bhakti, the most exalted form of devotion or pure devotion, is the devotion which is free from the tinge of karma and jnana. The coverings of jnana and karma. Free from the coverings of jnana and karma. Jnana karmad anabritam and anukullena Krishnanushilanam. Rendering service unto Krishna, which pleases him the most, that is pure devotion. Whatever service that pleases Krishna the most, that is pure devotion. And that pure devotion is free from the coverings of jnana and karma. Mahaprabhu accepted that, but Mahaprabhu asked him, what is beyond that? Then Ramananda Roy pointed out that dasya bhakti, Shanta Bhakti, devotional service in Shantaraj, Mahaprabhu accepted that. Asked him, tell me what is beyond that. He spoke about Dasya Bhakti. Mahaprabhu accepted that. What is beyond that? He spoke about Sakya, devotional service in Sakharas or in friendship. Then devotional service in parental, devotional service in conjugal. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, but tell me what is beyond that. Ramananda Rai said that, I never knew that anybody could ask what is beyond that. And he said, well, you are actually asking the questions, but you are providing the answers as well. It is by your potency, it is by your mercy that I am able to answer this, answer your questions. So if you empower me, if you bless me, then probably I'll be able to explain. Then Ramananda Rai explained that of Madhurya Bhakti, the devotional service in conjugal love, there are many, many lovers of Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis. But of all the gopis, there is one gopi who is very special. And he has substantiated that by saying that Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis. But there was one Krishna between two gopis. In circles, they were dancing. But in the center, Krishna was dancing with one gopi alone. Therefore, that gopi must be very, very special. Then he pointed out that when that gopi left the Rasa Mandali, Krishna left all 16,000 gopis and just went with her. So therefore she must be very, very special. And then Ramananda Rai substantiated that these are the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, these descriptions are there in this way. Srimad Bhagavat actually identified who is that very special gopi. One who is very expert in serving Krishna. Anaya Radhita Nunam Bhagavan Haririsharam. Anaya Aradhita, therefore the name comes Radha. One who is very expert in Aradhana. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the supreme position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. And he revealed the identity of Krishna as Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. He established his identity as the most beloved object of the residents of Vrindavan. So that is our understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, knowledge is a matter of information. We get the information and that becomes, when we receive the information, that becomes our knowledge. Now there was a time when the information from up to Vaikuntha was only available. So they had only up to that information. And although Krishna performed his pastimes in Dwapar Yuga, in the previous Dwapar Yuga, but still people didn't understand because the information were not available. They had the ultimate information they had is that of Vaikuntha. Therefore they were relating to Krishna's pastimes in relation to Vaikuntha only. And they thought that this Krishna is actually an incarnation of Narayan, incarnation of Kshirodakshay Vishnu, which is also correct. Krishna, one aspect of Krishna as the Yugavatar, is an incarnation of Kshirodakshay Vishnu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the perfect information, which came straight from the topmost region of the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. So today is the appearance day of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's such a wonderful occasion for all of us. Krishna came on this particular day. He appeared in this earth planet about 5,000 years ago to reveal his most wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan. So the description of Krishna's appearance has been given in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter of 10th canto, which Srila Prabhupada presented in the form of Krishna book. So we'll just read from that. Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth and activities are all transcendental, and that one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations become very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was predominant. This star is considered to be very auspicious and is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological calculation, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. So, when Krishna appeared, everything became auspicious. It is not that taking advantage of that auspicious time, Krishna appeared. Rather, the understanding is Krishna's appearance brings all auspiciousness. The stars and planets are actually personalities. The stars and planets are ruled over or dominated by different exalted personalities. Just as there are kings, like every planet actually has a king. Like Vivashvan is the king of the sun planet, Somdev is the king of the moon planet. In this way, different personalities actually predominate different planetary systems. And they are very exalted personalities, and they are actually great devotees of Krishna. All these demigods are devotees of Krishna. So when Krishna appeared, they all became very eager to participate in Krishna's pastimes in their own way. And when Krishna appeared, they arranged for celebration in their respective situations. And that is what actually caused this auspiciousness. It's not that we are celebrating Janmashtami only in Los Angeles, in Rukmini Dwarkadhish temple. At this time, at this point in time, Janmashtami is being celebrated in all over the universe. All different planetary systems are celebrating Janmashtami, because all the rulers of the planetary systems are devotees of Krishna. They are ecstatic, they are jubilant due to this very, very wonderful occasion. So whenever we celebrate something, we should understand that we are not celebrating only here. Those celebrations are going on in other places also, other planetary, not only on this Earth planet in different temples, but in different planetary systems. And that's why when they see, even when the demigods see us worshipping Krishna, they become pleased. They become happy. Therefore, Prabhupada emphatically said that we don't really have to worship the demigods separately. Just that we are serving Krishna, that pleases the demigods. And they will do whatever is necessary for our service to Krishna. Demigods are actually caretakers of the different affairs of the material nature. Therefore, since they are the controllers of different aspects of the material nature, different departments of the material nature, whatever we need, they will provide for that. Like if we need rain, Indra will say, okay, I will supply all the rain that you need for worshipping Krishna. Sun God says, and Vivarshan says, I'll supply all the sunlight that you need. Moon God says, all the nectar that you need we'll provide. He is in charge of soma, nectar. Lakshmi Devi will say, all the Lakshmi that you need I'll supply. Saraswati says, all the knowledge that you need I'll supply. So in this way, the devotees become automatically blessed by different demigods. Sometimes there's a misconception that we don't worship demigods. That doesn't mean that as devotees we become demigod haters. No, that will be a very big mistake. We respect them, but there is no need for us to separately worship them. When you come across them, naturally we show our respect. Mahaprabhu did. He went to different temples during his pilgrimage of South India, and he went to Lord Shiva's temple, worshipped. When some temples came across on his way, he would go and offer respect. In this way, Mahaprabhu established the proper standard of worship. And so in this way, the auspicious situation becomes created just by Krishna's appearance. We'll also discuss later on, a little later, about this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. He's describing, the gopis are describing, the jayati te dhikam janmana brajo shrayata indira shashadatrahi Doita drishyatang dikshutavakas toi dhritashabas tang bichinnate. Krishna, ever since you have taken birth in Braja, Braja has become blessed. Braja has become, Vrindavan has become glorious. Jayati te adhikang janmana Braja. Since you have taken birth in Braja, Braja has become glorified. And shrayata indira Shashwadatrahi. And because of your appearance here, Indira, Lakshmi Devi, is constantly residing here. And when Lakshmi Devi is there, she brings all auspiciousness, all the opulence, all the good fortune. Shrayata Indira Shashwadatrahi. Doita Drishyatang Dikshutavakas. Now you have created, by your appearance, you have created good fortune to everyone. But why are you causing us this misfortune of your separation? You are creating good fortune for everyone, but we are your devotees. We cannot stay without you. We are so attached to you. And see how you are dealing with us. You have plunged us into an ocean of separation and anguish due to that. So please Please come and give us your darshan. Doito drishyatam. Please appear in front of our vision. Dikshutabakas toidhritashavas tam vichinnate. So, by Krishna's appearance, everything becomes auspicious. And Krishna's appearance doesn't take place only by his birth. Krishna's appearance, Krishna can appear anywhere, at any time, but the condition is his devotee's devotion. So, like here, Krishna has appeared, and Krishna is constantly residing here. Krishna is always here, and as a result of that, what happened? An extremely auspicious situation has been created here. Not only in this temple, not only in this vicinity, all throughout. At least we can say that the entire city of Los Angeles is blessed because Krishna has appeared here. Entire earth planet has been blessed because Krishna is being worshipped here. And this is how Srila Prabhupada has created the good fortune for all the living entities of this planet. They may not directly take advantage of that good fortune, but indirectly they are receiving the good fortune. So, today is this very auspicious day when Krishna appeared. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity because of Krishna's appearance. So wherever Krishna appears, peace and prosperity must prevail. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky, and on the surface in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. Everywhere, including even in the minds of the living entities, there were signs of good fortune. Everyone's mind became ecstatic. Everyone's heart became filled with joy due to Krishna's appearance. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. I was telling Subhas Prabhu, it was so nice to see lotuses on the altar. And what gorgeous lotuses, beautiful large lotuses. I was telling him, even in India we don't see such big lotuses. But and Subhas Prabhu's response was, Krishna wanted and Krishna loves lotuses. And what lotuses does? Lotuses have their special effect. The lotus is actually causes us attraction for Krishna's lotus feet. These lotuses cause attraction to Krishna. The lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers. And the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the brahmanas, who were accustomed to offering sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of brahmanas. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, The Brahmanas had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The denizens of the Gandharva and Kinnara planets began to sing. The denizens of Siddha Loka and the planets of Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels and their wives, along with the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was a sound of mild waves, and above the sea, there were clouds in the sky, which began to thunder very pleasingly, as if even the clouds were expressing their jubilation. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just like a full moon. So this is how, Krishna's divine arrangement, the auspicious situation that is created, all kinds of wonderful things happen. And after all, Krishna's appearance is not subjected to the material arrangement. And Krishna's appearance is not at all related to the material condition. Krishna's appearance is arranged by Jogomaya. And that is why all kinds of inconceivable things appear to happen at that time. Like, although it was the eighth day of the waning period of the moon, but moon at that time became full. It was full moon at that time. And because it was Jogamaya's arrangement, and the apparent or immediate cause, as Prabhupada has explained here, because Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty, Chandra Vamsa, moon god became very excited. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming, appearing in my family. And as a result of his ecstasy, he became full. And also it has been described that how in Vrindavan things actually happen by Krishna's will and Jogamaya's arrangement. It may be Krishna is... It's midday, Krishna is tending the cows in the pasturing ground. But all of a sudden Krishna decides, it'll be nice to have the rasa dance. So immediately Jogamaya turns that situation into night. The moon appears, full moon appears in the sky, and Krishna calls the gopis and he dances. So there... time is simply related to Krishna's will and Jogamaya's arrangement. There the time is not fixed according to the movement of sun. There the time is completely subordinate to Krishna's will. In the middle of the day it can become night. In the middle of the night it can become day all of a sudden. And that is Jogamaya's divine arrangement. Janmaka, as Prabhupada pointed out, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Krishna's appearance, Krishna's birth, Krishna's activities, Janma Karma Chami Divvam, transcendental, divine. And Evam Javetti Tattvataha, when one understands that in reality, factually, Tvakta Dehang Punar Janma Naiti Mamiti Shu Arjuna. When one understands that, then when after leaving his body, he doesn't have to take birth again. Which means that after leaving the body, he goes back to the spiritual sky. And he doesn't have to come back again. So that is the wonderful aspect of understanding Krishna and his divine characteristics. Unfortunate people think Krishna to be an ordinary human being. It's actually their misfortune that although they are seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although they are getting to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still they do not recognize Him. Due to their envious nature, they cannot admit, they cannot accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They simply tend to think that He is just an ordinary person. Sometimes, you know, they think Him to be a rival, an enemy. Like Duryodhan. He was seeing Krishna face to face. He had the good fortune to become Krishna's relative. Although a little distant, but still he was a relative of Krishna. Shishupal, a very close relative, cousin, Krishna's first cousin actually. But still, he could not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Became inimical towards him. But as a result of that, what happened? They were doomed. Therefore, seeing Krishna is not so important. How Krishna sees us, that is what really matters. Now, Prabhupada was very emphatic about that. I heard when people ask Srila Prabhupada whether they can see Krishna, Prabhupada used to get very annoyed. And he used to point out that seeing Krishna is not important. How Krishna sees you, that is what really matters. How you are acting, that is what really matters. If you become his devotee, then Krishna will be pleased. If you render service unto him, Krishna will be pleased. But Krishna is constantly seeing us. Krishna knows how we are feeling, how we are thinking, how we are acting. He knows about everything. And when Krishna sees that we are developing a detrimental attitude towards him, then Krishna will not be pleased with us. And if he is not pleased with us, then he will not reveal himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we may see him face to face. We notice that, like we come to the temple, we see Krishna, we are actually seeing Krishna. But how are we seeing Krishna? Are we really seeing Krishna? That question we have to ask ourselves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to the Jagannath temple. He didn't even get close to Jagannath. He used to stay far away from Jagannath's deities. Practically at the end of the temple. In Garuda Stambha. From there he would see Lord Jagannath. And tears would flow from his eyes like torrents of rain. Sometimes tears would come out of his eyes like from a syringe. Like, now what was he seeing? Apparently that was an incomplete form. Apparently we cannot relate to that form. Jagannath, who is he? How was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing him? that he was afflicted with such emotion that tears were flowing from his eyes like torrents of rain. He was crying and crying and crying. His voice would choke. He would roll in the ground. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He couldn't say Jagannath. His voice would, he would stammer, ja 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 ga 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 ga. He was in such ecstasy that his voice started to falter. So that is the difference. We are seeing Lord Jagannath every day. We don't feel that emotion. What was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing? So that is what matters, the feeling, with how much love we see that beautiful form, the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. And it will happen if we practice the process of devotional service properly. Krishna told Arjun that he is revealing this transcendental knowledge. He is revealing his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to him because bhaktosi me sakha cheti. You are my devotee and you are my friend. That's why, Arjuna, I am revealing this transcendental, most secretive knowledge unto you. So, we are very fortunate that somehow or other we have come across Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. We have become a part of his institution, ISKCON. We have been exposed to his books. And as a result of that, the spiritual sky is unfolding in front of us. And as we continue to practice the process, it will happen. It will happen. There is no urgency, there is no rush, there is no hurry. We simply have to prepare ourselves now. The test will be at the time of death. That is the time we have to sit for our final examination, final test. How much love we have developed for Krishna will be tested at that time. Now, when we are alive, during our lifetime, we simply prepare ourselves for that very, very special moment. Just as throughout the year, we prepare, and finally we sit for the exams at the end of the year. In our spiritual journey also, we are now preparing ourselves through Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. We must practice the process. Just the way Srila Prabhupada gave it, we must accept it that way. Srila Prabhupada is pure devotee of Krishna. Krishna specifically sent him to distribute Krishna consciousness and continue to propagate this process of Krishna consciousness throughout the world for thousands of years to come. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement. Like yesterday I was discussing with someone, like different people have their perceptions and opinions about our line, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's line. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually revolutionized the process. For example, their main contention is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't have any parampara. The parampara that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established is not bona fide. Because it is not according to Diksha. Their understanding is, or their perception is, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is a disciple of Baladev Vidyabhushan. But Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj didn't take initiation from Baladev Vidyabhushan. Bhaktivinod Thakur did not take initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj didn't take initiation from Bhaktivinod Thakur. But actually what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established, that the Diksha Parampara is not our line. Our line is of Shiksha. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was carrying the Shiksha of Baladev Vidyabhushan. Just as Baladev Vidyabhushan was carrying the Shiksha of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, although not his Diksha disciple, but he was his main disciple. He was carrying his legacy, his teachings, his Shiksha. In this way, the Shiksha, the understanding of Krishna, is flowing through this specific line. Now those people do not understand that. They are just stuck on that Diksha conception. They don't see the importance of Shiksha. And we also see in our day-to-day life, what's the importance of Diksha if the Shiksha is not there? The Shiksha is more important. Diksha is the formality, but Shiksha is the substance. So are we just going to get caught up with just the external, or should we go for the substance? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went for the substance, which less intelligent people cannot understand. That's why they criticize Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for introducing all kinds of new things. He also introduced sannyas in saffron robe, Tridandi sannyas, which was not even prevalent in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya before, apparently. But what was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point? His point was that imitating the dresses of these Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, like Uttam Mahabhagavat, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, all kinds of nonsense is going on. He came to protest that and smash those people. His point was that the dress of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, that is the stage in the Paramahamsa stage, beyond the material nature, beyond the modes of material nature. They are situated in the Paramahamsa stage. Now, instead of imitating them without being elevated in that situation, in that position, that all kinds of nonsense that was going on, people totally illiterate, smoking bidi, but dressing like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So he came to smash that. And his point was situating myself in the modes of material nature, in the material platform, that is, in the mode of goodness, accepting sannyas. I will worship, I will carry the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. They are known as Babajis. Babajis actually mean the one who has been situated in the Paramahamsa platform. The saffron is the color of mode of goodness, but white is the color of Vishuddha Sattva, transcendental mode. Transcendental nature is signified in white. So when those people wear white, that actually signifies that they are situated in the transcendental mode of a Paramahamsa stage. Anyway, I mean, we're discussing about these points because we are actually considering Rabindra Sarup Prabhu is preparing to write a book to smash all those nonsense that goes on in that area. And that is actually one of the biggest enemies of Krishna consciousness movement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur dealt with them. But now these people are again surfacing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur smashed them. But again, taking advantage of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that now the Krishna consciousness movement has spread all over the world, these people are now trying to spread their influence in the most surreptitious way. So there is a need to smash that. at least educate our devotees so that they do not become victimized by those unfortunate propaganda. And here I actually made the point while we were discussing yesterday. My point actually was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village all over the world. That prediction was apparently impossible. And it is an apparently impossible prediction. But then, this impossible prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes a reality all of a sudden. In the short span of 10 years' time, it happened. Now the person who made this impossible prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become a reality, is he the most bona fide representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or is it just a chance happening? And from that we can understand where exactly Mahaprabhu's line is flowing. And that is the most authentic proof, most substantial proof that Mahaprabhu's prediction has become a reality. Now the personality who made it happen, isn't it natural to conceive that he is the personality that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent to make his prediction come true, make it happen? At least Srila Prabhupada spread it all over the world. It may not have spread in every town and village. But in order to make it happen, that it would spread in every town and village, which Srila Prabhupada could not do or did not do during his manifest pastime, Srila Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This institution is Prabhupada's creation to make the rest of the prediction become a reality. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So that is what, the reality. And we are fortunate that we somehow or other became connected to Srila Prabhupada and became situated in that wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada in the form of ISKCON. And if we just stay in ISKCON, following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the rest will happen. That's also, as I was saying, the ultimate test will be at the time of death. And we can very distinctly see, very clearly see how the devotees in ISKCON are leaving their bodies. It's an amazing thing to note. Not only the exalted devotees are leaving their bodies in the most wonderful way, but even apparently ordinary devotees, they're living their bodies in such a wonderful way. I'll give you an example. I'd rather give two examples. Like, one example is a ordinary lady in London. She got cancer, and she was to leave her body. First of all, she was not at all affected by her cancer. Although she got cancer, when she got a little better, she would go to the temple, render service. Such determination, such faith can happen only when one becomes, only when one realizes that he is not, he or she is not the body. And anyway, when she left her body, you know how she left her body? She had the japamala in hand. And just at the time of when she was leaving the body, she lifted the japamala, placed it on her head, and her head was turned a little bit towards her on the side. She left her body. Now when one leaves the body in that way, isn't it clear where that person went? And in the recent past, we just saw the way Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body. It's an amazing experience. I used to be in touch with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I used to phone. Considering that his health condition was so bad. I didn't want to disturb him. I just tried to take the information how Maharaj was from his devotees who were serving him at that time. But whenever I phoned, and Maharaj got to know that I was phoning, he insisted that that he would speak to me. And when he would speak, from his voice, there was no way one could recognize that he was in such a critical condition. And when I went to see him, that was in April. Yeah, that was in April. By the time he had his leg amputated, his body was emaciated, it practically became very, very, very emaciated. But his face was as bright as ever. And his voice didn't have any sign of any physical difficulty. And this way you could see that he is totally transcendental to his body. And also you all know how wonderfully he left his body. Such a glorious personality. And this is the proof. This is the proof. How we leave our body, that is going to be the proof. Sometimes people also have their doubts and reservations about how Tamal Krishna Maharaj left his body. But one very interesting thing to note is that his autopsy actually said that he left his body before the impact of the car crash. And when his body was brought, we saw like his face was so effulgent, so bright. So in this way we are seeing ordinary devotees. Like another example that I can think of, there's a young girl, she was probably 18 or 19 years old at that time. No, I'm sorry, she was 21 at that time, year before last. She developed some stomach ailment, and which was incurable. And she knew that she was going to leave her body, but still she was carrying on. And she finished her graduation, she got the result. She came home and she told her mother about her result, and she was very happy and joyful. And then all of a sudden, she became sick. There was some acute stomach pain. And she was taken to the hospital. And by the time she became unconscious, there was an internal hemorrhage in her stomach. And then she was in the intensive care with oxygen and all kinds of tubes, and things were applied in her body. But then all of a sudden, at one point, she just came back to her senses. She became conscious, came to her external consciousness. And then she just asked them, the devotees who were around, to take those oxygen and everything away. And she said, please start chanting Hare Krishna. She requested them to take all those medical aids like oxygen and other things away and start chanting Hare Krishna. And then while the devotees were chanting Hare Krishna, she was chanting Hare Krishna and she left her body. Now tell me, where did she go? So this is how devotees are leaving their bodies. So who can ever doubt the bona fide of this sampradaya, the authenticity of this sampradaya? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew how to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's why he instituted these customs, the standard. And Srila Prabhupada followed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction to the toe, or rather to the T. And that is how, and that is the credit of Srila Prabhupada. And this is the proof that Prabhupada is the personality who had been sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill his prediction. So there is no need for any kind of speculation where actually Mahaprabhu's line is flowing. At least as far as we are concerned, this is the line, and we simply have to stay on this line and never ever deviate. No matter how dangerous the temptation may be. It's unfortunate that many individuals are becoming victims of all kinds of temptations. And sometimes Maya even come in the guise of a devotee, dressed as a devotee. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So I will... Oh, is there any question or comment or... Nirantara Prabhu, you wanted to read out something?
No.
I see. So then we can just sing this song on the board. Can I have the harmonium, please? This verse, as I just briefly mentioned, indicates the gopis said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Vraja has made it exceedingly glorious. And thus, Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you. So please, show yourself to us. Maybe you can say with us. Jayati te dhikam.
Jayati te dhikam.
Janmana vraja.
Janmana vraja.
Shayata indira.
Shayata indira.
Shashvadatrahi.
Shashvadatrahi.
Daita drishyatam.
Daita drishyatam.
Dikshutavakas. Toi dhrita savas, tang bichinnate. Is it clear? Once again, maybe. Jayati te dhikam. Janmana vraja. Shrayata indira. Shashvadatrahi, Daita drishyatam, Dikshutabakas, Toi dhritashabash, Tang vichinnate.